Father in heaven, we do thank you for this time that we can come before your very presence, because you have washed us, cleansed us by the precious blood of your only begotten Son. We thank you because you love us, that we can become your children. Father, we come before your presence with thanksgiving, adoration, and worship. For we know that we come before a great and mighty God. And we know that you've watched over our lives, you've kept us. And we know that you have made many provisions for us. And even in our weaknesses and failures, we thank you that you continue to care for us. Father, we are deeply thankful that we are your children. Not because we are good in ourselves, but because of what we can be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask that you will continue to help us. We appreciate you and to know what can become of our lives. Father, we are deeply appreciative of the fact that you have created us in your image. That there is great potential in each one of our lives, and also for us together as your people in church life. And we ask that more and more we may be able to realize the full potential that is in us and together as your people. Father, as we are thankful for what you have done for our lives, we ask that you will also help us to be deeply concerned with those who do not know you and your work in all parts of the world. That you help us that more and more we may know how to equip ourselves to be able to contribute our part in the building of your kingdom. That we may be concerned and burdened with the things that are concerned to you, the issues that you are burdened about. We thank you for this time we can come together, and as we continue to reflect on the life of this man Daniel, who is precious in your sight, a man of high esteem. As you reflect on his life and his contributions to the building of your kingdom, we ask that you will help us to appreciate issues and to see the relevance and implications of our own lives. That our hearts will not be hardened, but that we may be open to you and to what you have to speak to us. So Father, we come this time to your loving hands. We ask that you be pleased to be in our midst, to speak to us, to mold us, to transform us, to deepen the convictions in our hearts. We ask that you protect us and keep us from the evil one. You will not allow the powers of darkness in any way to harass us, to disturb us, to distract us. We ask that each one of us may be able to hear and to hearken to your voice, personally and together as a congregation. It will not only bring joy to your heart, but able to fellowship together with you in the building of your kingdom. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Today we continue with our consideration of the subject of appearance and reality, the 35th message on the second major category of situations. And we've been considering the framework within which we should work out our lives, the 7th message, and considering the typical example of this man Daniel, the man of high esteem, the 5th message on Daniel. And for today, we'll be considering Daniel's contribution to the main flow of the fulfillment of God's purposes through prayer. Daniel's contribution to the main flow of the fulfillment of God's purposes through prayer. In the second half of the previous message, we considered the issue as to whether Daniel made any significant contributions towards the main flow of the fulfillment of God's purposes. And we ask this question especially because we have reflected on his circumstances, the framework within which he had to work out his life, that it would seem very difficult for him. The framework he was in looked rather bleak and wasn't conducive, it didn't appear conducive for him to contribute much. Remember that it was a time of judgment on the nation of Israel, the land was conquered, the temple in the process of destruction, and Daniel amongst the first batch to be exiled, and he was living as a captive in the land of Babylon, surrounded with pagan practices and false beliefs. But we saw that though it may appear to be that way, rather unconducive for contributions to the Lord's work, but we saw that in reality, the apparently unfavorable historical and particular context that Daniel was in actually provided unique opportunities for him to serve the Lord, and that he did contribute very significantly to the main flow of the fulfillment of God's purposes in several significant aspects. And we have considered the first major aspect, and that is the effective testimony and impact through his life, words, and deeds. So today we will carry on with the second major aspect, and that is Daniel's contribution to the main flow of the fulfillment of God's purposes through prayer. This is a very important subject, and there are very significant issues involved, not just for Daniel, but also very important for us in our personal lives and for us together in church life, because there is very great potential to prayer for each one of us, and even more so if we learn how to function well together and to pray effectively together in church life. Prayer is a very major means by which God's children can contribute effectively towards the building of God's kingdom and the fulfillment of His purposes. If we reflect on our desire to be effective for God, to contribute to the fulfillment of God's purposes, we realize that prayer is a very major means towards that direction and goal. And so it is an area, a subject that we must not be neglectful if we want to be effective for God. We need to understand the issues clearly and to know how to move well in that direction. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 9. Verses 1 to 3. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Verse 3. So I gave my attention to the Lord God, to seek Him by prayer and supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Notice here that Daniel in verse 2 said that he observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet. So he came to understand the will of God, what God has spoken, what God has revealed to Jeremiah the prophet, for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem in these 70 years. And based on his understanding of the Lord's will and the Lord's purposes in relation to Jerusalem, in relation to Israel, verse 3 tells us that Daniel sought the Lord and he began to pray earnestly in that direction. And the rest of chapter 9 goes on to describe Daniel's prayer. He began to pray earnestly in that direction towards the fulfillment of God's purposes. We will not look at in detail at the prayer at this point of time, but just briefly look at verses 16 to 19. part of Daniel's prayer. He says, O Lord, in accordance with all thy righteous acts, let now thy anger and thy wrath turn away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. For because of our sins and iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplications. And for thy sake, O Lord, let thy face shine on thy desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline thy ear and hear. Open thy eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we are not presenting our supplications before thee on account of any merits of our own, but on account of thy great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. For thine own sake, O my God, do not delay, because thy city and thy people are called by thy name. So Daniel was praying in a direction according to his understanding of the Lord's will. Where the period of judgment on the nation of Israel was 70 years. After that, after the 70 years, the judgment of Israel, the direction of the destruction, desolation of Jerusalem will be over. And so Daniel was praying towards the direction of the fulfillment and the continuation of the outworking of God's purposes. So he was praying for the Lord's sanctuary, verse 17, praying for Jerusalem and praying for God's people. But notice, as he prayed over these things again and again, as he cried out to God, he mentioned the Lord's name for his own sake and for the Lord's name and for the fulfillment of God's purposes. On the one hand, he was concerned for the people of Israel, but this was in the direction and the flow of God's purposes. Verse 19. O Lord, listen and take action for thy own sake. O my God, do not delay, because thy city and thy people are called by thy name. We see that as Daniel prayed, he tells us from verse 20 onwards how as he was praying and confessing his sin and the sin of the people, while he was during the time of prayer, verse 21, that Gabriel came to him, verse 21, and also gave him insight and understanding, verse 22. Gabriel gave me instruction, talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight and understanding. And we find that Gabriel gave Daniel very deep and significant revelation of God's plans and purposes that stretches even beyond the rebuilding of Jerusalem until the coming of the Messiah. See in verse 25, for example. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. And also, verse 27. The content here appears to be talking about what pertains to the end times, to the coming of the Antichrist and to his ultimate destruction. And we will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. By the middle of the week, we will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. this is likely to be the one referred to by the Apostle Paul as the lawless one, and Paul tells us that his destruction will take place at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. I do not intend to go into details on the content of the detailed revelations here, but just to mention that revelations to Daniel as he sought God in prayer was very significant and far-reaching, and its implications for God's people, even for our time and until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us about the destruction of the Antichrist, but before that in verse 7 it says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only the he who now restrains will do so until it's taken out of the way." Verse 8, "And then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming." So the destruction of the Antichrist, the lawless one. So it stretches until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming. It talks of the revelation by Gabriel to Daniel, refers to the first coming of the Messiah, and also even until the coming of the Antichrist and the second coming of the Lord Jesus, when the lawless one, Antichrist, will be destroyed. Likewise, if we look at Daniel chapter 10, Daniel chapter 10 verse 1 tells us how in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar, and the message was true and one of great conflict, but he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. It tells us here in verse 2, "In those days I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. He was mourning, but as we read on, we realize that the mourning was in the context of prayer, a time of sustained, intense prayer. Verse 12 tells us how an angel who appeared to Daniel and spoke to Daniel said, verse 12, "Then he said to me, 'Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words.'" So the words that were uttered here, this will be in the context of prayer. And Daniel here was praying, mourning, praying, fasting for 3 weeks, and in the context of his seeking the Lord in that way, again, it led to deep, significant revelation of the unfolding of God's plan and purposes. Verse 14, this angel spoke to Daniel. He says, "Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future." And the revelation went on. It covers on from chapter 10 to chapter 11 and chapter 12. And these are very significant chapters in relation to the understanding of the Lord's purposes, which we will now not look at in detail at this point of time. But the point I want to make is that Daniel's prayer line was effective, and it had strong bearing on the fulfillment of God's purposes. And there are significant things that through his prayer line has also been revealed to us to help us to understand the Lord's purposes. But now I want to concentrate on this issue of how to ensure a prayer life that can contribute effectively to the main flow of the fulfillment of God's purposes. How to ensure a prayer life that can contribute effectively to the main flow of the fulfillment of God's purposes. I want to consider this issue because I'm sure all those of us who love the Lord, we want to be effective for God. It would be a question that naturally we would want to understand, to ask and to understand how wonderful it would be if we can really ensure that we will be able to have a prayer life that can contribute effectively to the main flow for the fulfillment of God's purposes. And for this evening, I want to highlight four important features of a prayer life that contributes effectively to the main flow of the fulfillment of God's purposes. Four important features. One, general spiritual health and stature of the person. General spiritual health and stature of the person. His quality of life and maturity. Second, a developed and nurtured prayer life. A developed and nurtured prayer life. Three, understanding, insight into the main flow of God's purposes. Understanding, insight into the main flow of God's purposes, generally and specifically. Four, discipline in prayer in that direction. That is actual prayer. It's rather helpful to reflect on these four important features, and as we do so, we'll notice that all these four features are present in Daniel's life, which accounts for the effectiveness in his prayer life in that direction. All these four features are present in Daniel's prayer life. It's helpful for us to reflect on them one by one, and also, as we do so, to consider the relevance and the implications and applications for our own lives, because we also want to be effective for God. So let's consider the first important feature, and that is the general spiritual health and stature of the person, his quality of life and maturity. Sometimes when we are thinking about effective prayer life, we may straight away think about how we can develop our prayer life, how we can be effective in that direction. But I see it's very important for us to first recognize this first important feature, because this is foundational and the basis. This is foundational and the basis for effective prayer life. Generally, as well as for effectiveness in contribution through prayer to the main flow of the fulfillment of God's purposes. By that I mean the general spiritual health and stature of the person, or quality of life and maturity, that this is foundational and important and a basis for effective prayer life generally, but also specifically on the subject we are considering about effective contribution through prayer to the main flow of the fulfillment of God's purposes. In other words, if we want to be effective in prayer, we must take note that our general spiritual health and stature, quality of life, is foundational, and seek to develop that foundation, without which it will not be feasible for us to have an effective prayer life. Regards to Daniel, we have seen and reflected on the high standard of spiritual health and character of this man Daniel. We saw the fine qualities in his life and why he was regarded as a man of high esteem, someone precious in the sight of God. And we saw that his was a life, the picture of it that comes through, is a life that is pleasing to God in all aspects. A life of deep personal walk and knowledge of God. As we reflect on this subject, we will see that spiritual health and stature and our depth of knowledge of God and the ways of God are vitally related to the power of God at work in our lives and through our lives, and also related to the release of God's power through prayer. So when we want to have a deep experience of God at work in our lives and through our lives in the release of God's power through prayer, then spiritual health, stature, depth of knowledge of God and the ways of God becomes crucial. This foundation is also necessary for intensity in prayer and for sustained prayer. Without this foundation, we will not be able to be intense in our prayer and for sustained prayer, especially over crucial and major issues. Because spiritual strength and stamina is necessary for spiritual exertion required. And also to be able to withstand the spiritual pressures that come upon us and spiritual attacks that come from the powers of darkness. So the foundation is necessary so that we'll be able to carry on and sustain prayer. We have the spiritual strength and stamina for the spiritual exertion that is necessary, because prayer to be effective, to contribute to the Lord's work and the fulfillment of his purposes, requires spiritual exertion. And the more effective the prayer, the more spiritual exertion will be required. And so the foundation that we are talking about is crucial, without which we will not be able to have the spiritual strength and stamina required. And also, as we seek to contribute to the Lord's work through prayer, there will be spiritual pressures that come upon us. And if we have not built up the foundation, and yet we attempt to be intense and to strive in prayer very earnestly, we find that we will not be able to withstand the spiritual pressures, and we may actually crumble. Or when the attacks of the powers of darkness come upon us, we are not able to withstand. I'll elaborate along these lines as we carry on. Related to this is the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth generally, and understanding, insight into the realities of the spiritual realm. All these are necessary to enable us to pray effectively. To pray effectively generally, as well as the direction of spiritual warfare in order to fight the good fight. Knowledge of the truth is very important, as well as understanding, insight into the realities of the spiritual realm, because prayer, as we make progress in that direction, you'll find it's a very dynamic, lively matter. And to be able to understand what's happening in the spiritual realm as we pray, the insight into what is happening, to be able to understand what is happening in the spiritual realm as we pray is very helpful, and also the knowledge of the truth to know how to respond to the situation. So in particular, I want to emphasize that a lively kind of knowledge is important. Lively knowledge, one aspect has to do with appreciation of the truth in the scriptures, a lively appreciation of the truth, not just being able to recite verses or to just mention truths revealed in the scriptures, but a personal lively appreciation of the truth. But the other aspect of lively knowledge or lively appreciation of the truth has to do with how these truths are related to particular situations that we are in, and the context of life, and the actual outworking of the Lord's purposes, and as we pray, how to apply the knowledge and truths that we've come to understand in a very lively way. So, a lively knowledge, discernment, wisdom, all these are crucial. And all this has a direct bearing on or related to spiritual health and stature, quality of life, and maturity of a person. And all these are important because situations of life and spiritual warfare is dynamic, not a static kind of thing. And it varies from situation to situation, and things can at times move very quickly. And at times, in the outward circumstances, the external realm, it may not be very visible, but things are moving in the spiritual realm. Are we able to recognize, discern what is going on? So, ability to perceive and to understand what is happening and how to respond is very important. This pertains to perception, and understanding how to respond can apply to specific moments. Each moment, what is actually happening, especially during times of great intensity of things moving, the spiritual realm, specific moments, how to respond, as well as the whole approach and strategy that needs to be adopted to understand how the assessment of the total picture, whether it be a particular issue, particular matter, or something major in relation to the Lord's work, an assessment of the whole matter and the whole approach to adopt, because many different approaches can be adopted and can make a lot of difference. The kind of approach that is adopted, the strategy to adopt. And at times, failures or significant errors can have significant adverse consequences if we do not understand and we adopt the wrong approach. And such adverse consequences can at times even have rather long-term implications, especially where the issues involved are major or complex. So general all-round development and character development for the individual is important. It's important, we can divide into two aspects, this general all-round development. So my emphasis is not just development in some areas, but all-round development is very important. And this is the goal towards which we must, each one of us, seek to move. Not just develop some areas, but all-round development that God desires of His children, to be properly equipped as a true servant of the Lord. So the all-round development of the believer and character development are important in two aspects. A, if we do not develop properly, then the areas of weaknesses and character deficiencies will often be taken advantage of and manipulated by the powers of darkness. And especially in the context of prayer, seeking to be intense in prayer, in the context of spiritual warfare, to be effective for God in His work, you'll find that the powers of darkness often focus their attacks on the areas of weaknesses of the person and take advantage of the character deficiencies, magnify them, manipulate them, in the process destroy the person or to render him ineffective, to nullify him. And where these weaknesses and character deficiencies are not dealt with, it may lead in the direction of spiritual difficulties and leading to an inability to carry on the fight or to fight well. Or even more serious, in the process you may even become deceived, led astray, and even be involved in a negative way, participate negative things instead of contributing to the Lord's work. You can actually be deceived, and as a result, manipulated by the powers of darkness and cause damage to the Lord's work. So, for example, weaknesses, deficiencies in character, like pride, or greed, or lust. These are areas that are easily taken advantage of and manipulated. Likewise, if you are ill-disciplined or impatient, then easily the powers of darkness will nullify or attempt to be effective in prayer, or any area of sin, especially areas that tend continually to afflict us. Areas of sin that the powers of darkness take advantage of. And once the sin manifests, it will hinder us in our prayer life, effectiveness in prayer. Or there may be various areas of distractions of the world or attractions of the world, areas of weaknesses in that area. The power of darkness will bring it into our lives at that point of time, to distract us, to hinder us, to draw us away. Any areas of the flesh, weaknesses of the flesh that are not properly dealt with will easily surface and be taken advantage of. Any fears, anxiety in our lives, we haven't learned how to deal with them properly, the powers of darkness will seek to draw them forth, make us anxious, frightened. As we seek to serve the Lord, you'll make us anxious, fearful, so that we dare not continue. And then also, if we tend to lack the persevering spirit, it can easily discourage us, and then we are not able to carry on. Well, you can add on to the list. The list can be a long one. But the point I want to make is, any areas of weaknesses, character deficiencies, the powers of darkness will tend to take advantage of them, manipulate them, so that we are not able to carry on well, to fight a good fight, to be effective in prayer. Then the second aspect, B. A has to do with the negative areas. B is more the positive aspects. That is, the effectiveness of prayer is related to the degree of development of positive qualities. Effectiveness of prayer of the individual is related to the degree of development of positive qualities. The more effective we want to be in prayer, we have to develop the positive qualities. We cannot just keep hoping that our prayer life will be effective, or just pray to God, God, teach me how to pray effectively, enrich my prayer life, help me to be effective in prayer. But if we are not developing the positive qualities in our lives, and yet we keep praying that our prayer life will become effective, it is not feasible. So the positive qualities I've mentioned just now, in our all-round development, and including our spiritual strength, stamina, stature, knowledge of the law, of the truth, and so on. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, which has a bearing on what we are talking about. Ephesians the 6, verse 10. Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might." Before he goes on to talk about the struggle against the forces of darkness. Paul mentions about the importance of being strong in the Lord, in the strength of His might, the spiritual strength that comes from the Lord, and how to be strong in the Lord. And this is very important for effective prayer life and also in spiritual warfare. So Paul says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. You'll find that Paul again and again in these few verses tells us about the importance of being able to stand firm. To stand firm. And this standing firm is linked especially to the works of the past, the schemes of the devil. The evil one will seek to attack us, discourage us, hinder us, and we must be able to stand firm. And this standing firm is linked to putting on the full armor of God. This standing firm, he repeats again in verse 14, stand firm therefore. And verse 13, the last part also, and having done everything to stand firm. And verse 14, stand firm therefore. Now this standing firm has a lot to do with the ability to stand firm, as we read on, has a lot to do with the foundation that we have in God. The strong foundation built up and the positive qualities developed in our lives. And as Paul talks on the importance of putting on the full armor of God, he first explains to us the struggle. The struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of darkness. The powers of darkness against the evil one. And he says, therefore, we need to take up the full armor of God, that we may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. But this standing firm and being properly equipped for this struggle, as we read on, we find that the emphasis is very strongly in the direction of the positive qualities and the character development that needs to take place in our lives to be properly equipped. So Paul goes on, verse 14, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'll not elaborate on all these features, but just to emphasize the main flow of thought, the positive qualities that needs to be developed. Girded your loins with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, all these are positive qualities that needs to be properly developed. A knowledge of the truth, not just an understanding, but the appropriation of these truths into our lives, righteousness in our lives, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the readiness of the gospel of peace. We've heard about the importance of being ready, readiness on our part, being properly equipped by the Lord. In addition to taking up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. It's not sufficient just to say that we try to exercise the faith, but what kind of faith, the quality of faith. We need to deepen the quality of faith so that we'll be able to overcome and extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Quality of faith, very important in our lives and the spiritual struggles that we go through. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, who is the Word of God. We have mentioned in times past about the sword of the Spirit, the importance of moving the sword of the Spirit, who is the Word of God. The Spirit of God at work. And this is linked with verse 18, with all prayer, the prayer that moves the sword of the Spirit. So, in fact, if we look at this portion of scriptures in Ephesians 6, personally, as I look at it, I see that Paul emphasizes a lot on prayer. In order to fight this good fight, prayer is very important. Prayer that moves the Spirit of God. And he says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Not just any kind of prayer, but spiritual prayer. And with enabling of the Spirit, exercising our spirit, and by the enabling and guidance of the Spirit of God, a spiritual prayer And with this in view, be on the alert. We cannot be careless in prayer. There needs to be alertness with all perseverance. The stamina as well as the strength and perseverance. We must continue on. And petition for all the saints and pray on my behalf. So general prayer as well as prayer directly in enabling the Lord's servants to serve Him. Praying for Paul. That utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. So prayer linked to the advancement of God's kingdom, support of those who are serving the Lord, prayer support for the Lord's work. So the prayer at all times in the Spirit, with all perseverance and alertness, is very important. But for this prayer to be effective, and also as an effective safeguard against the attacks from the powers of darkness, the positive qualities must be properly nurtured and developed in our lives. And we find that this is actually the main thrust of this passage of what Paul is talking about in being properly equipped for effective prayer and for our struggle against the forces of darkness in order to be effective in contribution to the Lord's work. In the context of the positive qualities, then being able through prayer to move the sword of the Spirit. Because in the end, we cannot contribute to the Lord's work directly, but it's through the Spirit of God at work. But we moving God through prayer. But in the context of it, the effectiveness, the ability with which we are able to exercise ourselves well to move God in prayer, the Spirit of God through prayer, is vitally linked to the qualities in our life that are developed, properly equipped for that, and also need to be properly equipped for effective prayer life. For this first point, first important feature, we can summarize in this way that we cannot develop effective prayer life independent of and without paying adequate heed to our general spiritual health and development. That is, we cannot develop effective prayer life independent of and without paying adequate heed to our general spiritual health and development. And we'll add on to it. We can emphasize it must be all round. Whatever area is important and significant that God wants a believer to develop, we must develop every area, not just some, but all round development and growth is very important. We mustn't neglect any major area. James 5:16 is an encouragement to us. The subject of prayer, James tells us, after mentioning how we should confess our sins to one another, pray for one another so that we may be healed, he says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Prayer can accomplish much, but not every prayer accomplishes the same thing. There are varying degrees of effectiveness in prayer. So remember that we can increase the effectiveness of our prayer, and it's important to move in that direction. Not just to be satisfied when we pray, but how effective is our prayer? And to remember the effectiveness of prayer is vitally linked to the kind of person that we are. It says here, the righteous man. You want to mention a godly man, a man of spiritual stature, spiritual health. In other words, effectiveness of prayer is very much linked to the man, the kind of man, the qualities in the man's life, especially the moral character aspects and his development in God. But an encouragement that prayer can accomplish much. but we must equip ourselves so that we will be able to move well in this direction. And the second important feature is a developed and nurtured prayer life. This may sound obvious if you want an effective prayer life, and yet it's my concern that at times it doesn't seem so obvious in outworking. People do not seem to pay sufficient attention to the truth of this point, and that is our need to pay attention to and to develop, to nurture our prayer life. That this is actually one of the basic priorities of a Christian. Do we sufficiently recognize this and actually pay sufficient attention to this area of our life? It is actually one of the basic priorities of a Christian. To pay attention to and to develop, to nurture our prayer life. We must not and we cannot afford to neglect our prayer life or just to expect our prayer life to develop well automatically. We must pay attention. As I go on, hopefully it will become clearer how we can go about paying attention to this area. What does it mean to develop, to nurture our prayer life? How to go about it? We need to exercise ourselves in prayer and various kinds, aspects to it. There needs to be the regular, consistent time set aside for prayer, but there can also, and there should also, be periods of more intense and sustained prayer, including fasting and prayer. By that I mean, we should be moving in that direction, not that straight away we want to jump into something very intense and deep, but we must be moving in that direction. Periods of more intense, sustained prayer. That must be the goal, the direction that we must be aiming towards. But we need to move cautiously, carefully, gradually. And at this stage, the readiness for going deeper is dangerous for us if we are hasty, rash, or we just want quick results. But we must move in that direction. Now let's again look at Daniel. Because there are many different ways of discussing prayer life and even Daniel's prayer life. But I see it helpful to list it under three categories of prayer in Daniel's life that we see recorded in scriptures. Three categories. A. We look at, perhaps I mentioned the category before you look at the verse. A general, regular, consistent prayer life. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Just one verse that we have noticed when we considered the incident of Daniel being thrown the lion's den. But this verse helps us to understand this area of Daniel's prayer life. One verse it tells us in verse 10, now when Daniel knew the document was signed, he entered his house, in his roof chamber he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, regularly, consistently. This is a time that we need to set apart each day to pray, regularly, consistently, setting apart time to pray to God. Now, prayer is not just petitions or things, praying about various matters, but also worship, drawing nearer to God, to know God, to appreciate God, to be renewed, strengthened, refreshed by the Lord, to show our love, appreciation for God. We have to stop praying, giving thanks before God. But this regular, consistent time set apart for God in prayer is very important. And take note that Daniel was a man, this context tells us that he was a man holding a very high position in the secular world, in government affairs, a very responsible position, and he must have been very busy. Many things to attend to. In his busyness and enormous responsibilities, we find that Daniel did not neglect his prayer life. He continued faithfully. He had time for prayer. And this is one area we must make sure we learn well. Never become too busy for prayer. No matter how busy we may be with various things and responsibilities, we must try to ensure that we do have time for prayer. If Daniel, in his responsibilities and busyness, is able to maintain his prayer life in this way, how much more so should we be able to do so? How much less excuse may we have in our context? Then D would be, I see, helpful to categorize it as prayer as in response to the issues of life. Prayer in response to the issues of life, specific issues that arises, including crisis situations. Prayer in response to issues of life, specific issues that arises or crisis that arise that confront us, crisis situations. Chapter 2 of Daniel, verses 17 and 18. This was the context of a crisis, a situation of life that arose. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. The magicians and sorcerers were not able to tell him the dream and its interpretation. And the order from the king had gone forth. We saw this story, how the order was given to destroy all the wise men of Babylon, including Daniel and his three friends. And in the midst of this crisis, verse 17, Daniel went to his house and informed his friends about the matter, in order that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So in response to an issue of life, a crisis, time set aside to pray specifically over the matter. In this context, also in fellowship with his three friends. And we saw how as they prayed about the matter before the Lord, the mystery was revealed to Daniel, and they were able to overcome the crisis. Another category, C, the third category we can consider, is initiative in prayer. Not just waiting for an issue to arise, confront us, a crisis, and then we start to respond to it in prayer. That's one kind of prayer. But also, there's a place for initiative in prayer. In other words, it's not something that immediately confronts us, that we have to attend to it. But in our consideration before the Lord, we can see that there are areas that are helpful, meaningful for us to pray over. In Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, the whole of chapter 9 itself, we saw how Daniel took the initiative to pray over this matter, which he knew was very important in the fulfillment of God's purposes. As he came to understand, as he observed in the books, which is likely to be a reference to the Old Testament scriptures, in any case, we know it's mentioned here as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, so it's the will of God expressed. As he observed, as he came to recognize the will of God, he took the initiative. It wasn't essential. It wasn't something that was a crisis facing his own life, an immediate pressing thing. He had a choice, but he took the initiative to pray over this matter because he recognized that it was important. So in verse 3, he gave attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and so on. And so this is another possibility in the area of prayer, that at times we can reflect over, consider before the Lord, what are the areas that are important for us to pay attention to seek the Lord, to pray over, or to support the Lord's people or the Lord's work. Initiative that we can take in prayer. Of course, there can be overlap in these three categories. For example, the first category of general, regular, consistent prayer line, the time set apart each day, it can overlap with the second area of issues of life that arise, or even crisis situations, various issues of life that confront us. We can also pray over them during a regular, consistent time of prayer. Or initiative in prayer, areas that we reflect over, we recognize it's important, we can make it a matter of regular prayer in our set apart time of God each day. And the second and third category, response to issues of life and initiative in prayer, can also at times be intense and of a sustained nature. For example, the issue is very major. Then we can enter into times of more intense and sustained prayer. Prayer is major, prayer is complex. And now I want to consider the need that I was emphasizing just now, of our need to pay attention to learn how to pray effectively. And we must pay attention to this area because it doesn't come about automatically. In our progress will be related to part of learning and also attention paid to this area. So we want to develop our prayer life, to nurture our prayer life, we must pay attention to this area. So for example, to consider and to try to understand how prayer affects the spiritual realm. How prayer affects the spiritual realm, as well as how prayer can affect people, affect events, and even the visible realm. Not just the spiritual realm, but also how prayer can affect the visible realm. And through experience, we must learn to discern, to recognize, to understand as we pray how our prayer is affecting the spiritual realm, how it affects people, how it affects events and the visible realm. In other words, we do not just simply pray and just carry on, but try to understand as we pray what is happening. Now this, of course, we have to be quite careful not to jump to conclusions quickly, not to be imaginative, and as a result come to wrong conclusions, but prayerfully looking to the Lord to grow in appreciation and understanding that as we pray and how we pray, the way we go about it, the kind of impact it has on the spiritual realm, on people, on events, on various matters of life. So we need to look to the Lord, to understand, to discern, to recognize, to perceive what happens, the consequences, the impact of prayer. And how through prayer we can in a proper sense seek to move God, because God does delight to hear our prayers and act in the direction of prayers that are legitimate, meaningful. And we saw just now in Ephesians 6 about moving the sword of the Spirit through prayer, that there is a place through prayer to move God and to move the sword of the Spirit. But the impact, the way God works, is not always the same. And we need to understand, is there something that we can contribute towards the strength with which and the manner in which God acts? And actually there is a place that we can contribute. Of course, ultimately we have to submit to the sovereignty of God and His perfect wisdom as to what He sees fit and how He desires to work. But there is a definite place that we can contribute in that direction through prayer. And in the area of spiritual warfare, to also learn to understand how to overcome the forces of darkness. And spiritual warfare is a very complex area. There's very much to learn in this area. And as we pray, to learn how to understand, to learn to recognize, to understand how the prayer is affecting the forces of darkness and how to overcome them effectively. In this regard, experience is important, but the experience must go together with a heart and mind that is attentive, alert, seeking to understand, to learn. And then as we go through life's experiences in prayer, then we make progress. But experience itself will not help us if we are not attentive, we are not alert, we are not seeking to understand, seeking to learn. So many things have been happening which we should have recognized, but we never recognize them, and we never learn. And actually for each one of us, as we go through life's situations, as we seek to live for God, as we pray, there are actually many helpful experiences that all of us go through. But how much we learn from the experiences we go through can vary a lot, depending on our alertness and our desire to learn. A lively appreciation of what is going on, a heart of learning, prayerfully looking to the Lord, seeking the Lord's face to understand what is happening, and slowly building up our understanding. And then we also need to learn how to understand, to learn to pray with biblical truth and principles as basis. So as we grow in appreciation of the truths in the scriptures, we learn to apply these truths and prayer with a biblical truth and basis, the biblical principles. Now this is a very wide-ranging issue. I'll just give some examples. For example, as we grow in our understanding of God, who He is, His character, His attributes, in prayer, we can bring our understanding of God into prayer so that we pray in accordance with the truth of who God is. And also, as we grow in our appreciation of understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, His person and His work, what took place, what is accomplished at the cross of Calvary, and the implications of His resurrection, His ascension, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we learn to bring in these truths into our prayer life, the implications. So our prayer will be in line with the truths and principles revealed in the scriptures. Including, for example, we know the victory over the evil one, over the powers of darkness. The powers of darkness, the evil one, has already been defeated at the cross of Calvary, and how we can experience this victory for our lives. Related to this is the truth relating to our union with the Lord Jesus Christ and the implications. I'll not elaborate much on these areas, but just point out that there are various of these areas that are actually very important for us to deepen in understanding and how to move in a direction whereby our growing appreciation of this truth can then be incorporated into our prayer life. And there are many implications in these areas, including the promises of God. And so in prayer life, we can, in our prayer life, we can also learn more and more to affirm various relevant facts revealed in the scriptures, various relevant truths, promises of God that are relevant. We learn to affirm these areas, these truths. Affirm also our confidence in God and who He is. For example, His power. As we affirm it, how this can be relevant in our prayer life, His omnipotence, and then His omniscience, His omnipresence, His love, His grace, His wisdom, and so on. How we can incorporate our understanding of these truths into our lives, and various other revelations and facts revealed in the scriptures. And so we also learn how choice of words make a difference in prayer. Because the most important is our attitude of heart. But attitude of heart in itself does not account for everything. We have good attitudes, but choice of words with the meaning attached to it as we pray. That means the heart is there, but also the truth as the basis and the choice of words that will make a difference in the impact of our prayer, including in spiritual warfare. The choice of words that we use that are appropriate and suitable in the context, and the manner of prayer. There are many different kinds of prayer and way of going about it. Manner of prayer. Now, I will not elaborate on these areas. Some comments and observations on the manner of prayer and so on has been mentioned when I covered Deliver Us from the Evil One in the series on the Sermon on the Mount. But those are just some observations and comments in this area. There's a lot more that we can learn from the Lord with passing time. So the point I want to emphasize is that there is much to learn and to develop, and we must take a very lively, active interest in developing and nurturing our prayer life, so that with passing time, there will be definite progress and development. And there's much to learn and develop, because prayer life can be rather complex. But there's very great potential in prayer life. Great potential because of the greatness of God. Not just reliance on the prayer in itself, but because of a recognition of who God is, the greatness of God. And prayer, the effectiveness of prayer directly linked to God at work. So there's very great potential in prayer because God chooses to work through the prayers of His people. That He has given us this privilege, this opportunity to be able to contribute to His work and also to movements in the spiritual realm and even God at work through prayer. So there's great potential in prayer. And also because prayer has a very direct impact on the spiritual realm. And we know that building the kingdom of God is in the spiritual realm. So there's very great potential in prayer, because it has a direct impact on the spiritual realm. But not only that, we also know that prayer, through prayer and prayer itself, can affect every area in life and every issue that God desires us to influence or to bring about. So there are many things we may not be able directly to be involved by our physical presence or any other form. For example, we may be separated by great distance, can be a very far away land in another country. We may not be able to influence or contribute in any other way, but prayer is not restricted in that manner. Through prayer, we can touch or impact or influence any person, any issue, in any part of the world, so long as we are careful to know how to pray in accordance with the truth, according to the revelation of the scriptures, in accordance with the Lord's desire and His will. So what is important then would be for us to develop our spiritual strength and stamina and the quality of our prayer life. So effectiveness of prayer is directly related to the quality of prayer life attained, our spiritual strength and stamina. And this is in line with the important truth and principle that we have often sought to emphasize, and that is that true service and impact from our lives flows forth from the qualities and realities within us that has been attained. So if you want to contribute to the Lord's work, we have to serve God, we want to have an impact on people's lives and effectiveness in the Lord's work, we know that it can only flow forth from the qualities and the realities that have been developed within us. If not, it will be superficial, temporary. So likewise, prayer, for it to have real impact and contribute significantly, it is related to the qualities and realities that we attain within our being. The third important feature for an effective prayer life and contribution. The main flow, the fulfillment of God's purposes, is the issue of understanding. Understanding and insight into the main flow of God's purposes generally and specifically. Our spiritual health may be there generally. We may have sought to develop our prayer life, but if we do not develop understanding, insight into the main flow of God's purposes, then it's difficult for us to pray in that direction, to contribute in that direction. So the understanding and insight into the main flow of God's purposes becomes important, generally as well as specifically, so that we can pray in that direction. Understanding is necessary for effective prayer in that direction. For Daniel, we have considered the impact of his life, his role and his contribution as an effective, faithful witness. As you reflect on this issue that we've considered as the first point in our consideration of Daniel's contribution, we'll find that he is one who understood the issues. He understood the issues, and that's why he was able to move well and effectively in that direction. The context that he was in, the flow of unfolding of God's plans and purposes, the judgment on the nation of Israel, and the importance of the witness that he should be bearing together with whoever were faithful in that context. And we've considered this to some degree, the kind of witness, who God is, and what God requires of mankind, and the kind of life that man can have, and so on. For Daniel to fulfill his role well, basically we know that he understood the issues. So as he understood his issues, his life as well his prayer life would then be in that direction. Although not everything is recorded for us, we know there's sufficient evidence in the records of the kind of prayer life that Daniel had, both regular, consistent prayer life, as well as the way he responds to issues that he recognizes, especially any major issues that he recognizes. So as his life contributes in that direction, it will continually be backed up by an effective prayer life. So whether it be in the general direction of what God desires to accomplish, or specific issues that arises, how to pray so that God's purposes can be fulfilled. In particular, we can refer back again to Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. And in these verses, there are also important lessons for us to reflect upon and learn. You see, Daniel was able to respond in prayer because he had observed in the books, as I mentioned just now, this could very well be scripture portions, the Old Testament. As he understood the revelation of God, the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So the understanding, as he read, studied the books, with the recognition of the will of God. And this understanding then resulted in prayer. And there are two important lessons that we can learn from this issue of what happened. A, we need to understand through God's revelation. There's no other way we can understand to gain insight into the main flow of God's purposes. So we need to understand through God's revelation. B, scriptures is a very important source of God's revelation of his purposes. And so it leads us to the recognition of the importance of studying, reflecting, thinking through prayerfully to seek to understand God's purposes as revealed in the scriptures. And because God has revealed extensively and in depth His purposes in the scriptures, though much of it is not very obvious or easy to recognize straight away. But we need to study, reflect, to think through prayerfully, and then to understand its meaning and its implications so that it can lead to application and outworking. So we need to prayerfully search the scriptures, reflect on its meaning, to seek to understand what God is seeking to do and how His purposes can be accomplished. So for our context, I've divided into two main aspects. A, what is relevant to us in our context would be the understanding of God's eternal purposes and how to fulfill them. And in this regard, to understand the significance of church life and healthy outworking of church life. Because healthy outworking of church life is vitally linked to the fulfillment of God's eternal purposes. But this is a subject that many of us may feel that we are rather familiar with it or understand. We've often been talking about God's eternal purposes, church life, and so on. But it's an area of deep concern to us that often, though the subject may be familiar to us, we are rather deficient and lacking in our understanding of these issues. In other words, what I'm trying to emphasize is the importance of seeking to understand clearly and deeply the width and depth of these issues, and also moving in the direction of deepening convictions. And all this can deepen with time to understand increasingly clearly, deeply, width and depth, and increasing convictions. Increasing depth of conviction. With passing time, there should be increasing understanding and deepening convictions. And there's very, very much for us to develop in these areas. Do not think we already understand. All of us need to continue to grow in our appreciation, understanding of these issues, and deepening of convictions. Though they can be summarized in a few words like this, the issues involved are very wide-ranging and will have implications in every aspect of our lives, every area. So if we want to be effective for God, generally, as well as effectiveness in prayer, again, this must be part of the goal of our lives. We must pay attention to this area, to seek to deepen in our understanding with increasing clarity, width and depth of God's purposes and how to fulfill them, and issues of church life and how these things can come about in fellowship with God and God's people. Deepening convictions that can then lead to increasing effectiveness in our participation, involvement in what is really in the heart of God, instead of concentrating our energy on fringe issues. Although no issue is insignificant, whatever areas that are positive in eyes of the Lord have a bearing, but not every issue is of equal significance. We need to recognize the issues clearly so that our priorities will be in the right place. Our emphasis in our lives personally and together in church life. The second aspect, B, has to do with our understanding of our historical context. To recognize on the one hand that there are the revelations in the scriptures that are applicable to all believers, but also to realize that God's plans and purposes, the unfolding of His plans and purposes, is a dynamic thing and is not the same throughout the history of the church. And to recognize that we have our historical context, just as Daniel had his historical context within which to work out his life. We are not in this context. It's different. And so our approach and emphasis will be different, although there will be areas that are similar, like growing in appreciation, understanding of God, and so on. But the actual contribution and the way the Lord's purposes are to be fulfilled will be different. For example, one very major difference between Daniel and us in this issue would be that he was functioning and working out his life prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For us, after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the revelation of church life is rather different. Significant difference in these areas. So we need to understand our place in church history and the stage that we are in the unfolding and the fulfillment of God's plan and purposes, and our movement towards the Lord's second coming. And these are some of the areas that we have sought to try to prepare us to some degree. Now, these are relevant issues we need to understand, and as we become more and more equipped. And the first important feature, our general health and foundation, then the Lord will help us become increasingly clear of these areas that we are now talking about, so that we can contribute effectively. So as we grow in understanding, we need then to grow in understanding of how we can contribute our part personally, in our individual lives, as well as together as a congregation, how we can contribute our part to God's work generally and specifically. When we realize a certain direction that the Lord's work is moving towards, how we can contribute in that direction, and specifically, because there can be various areas that as a congregation we can support, whether it be significant individuals in their labor organizations or countries, or a certain emphasis in the direction of the Lord's work. And many various issues may become increasingly clear to us of what God may desire of us as we become increasingly ready. So we need to understand how we can fulfill the part that God desires of us as a specific congregation. But the matter is a dynamic one. It's not fixed. It's related to our development and readiness. That's one aspect. If we do not develop well, then the part that we can contribute, the Lord's design and will for us, will not be the same. What He desires of us, we may not be able to accomplish if we are not ready. So our development, our readiness, will change with time, depending on our readiness and how well we are growing. And also, the changes that takes place in the world, the situation in the world, and the progress, the development in God's work, in God's kingdom. All these things are dynamic. And so what God desires of us to fulfill as a specific congregation is a dynamic thing. And we need to seek to understand what is going on and how we can contribute our part. Not according to our own choosing, but what God desires of us. And so we move on then to the last point, point number 4. The understanding and a developed prayer life, general spiritual health and stature. But having understood or increasing understanding must then result in the actual prayer, discipline in prayer. We may understand what to pray about, but are we disciplined in our prayer life? Do we discipline ourselves to pray in that direction, the actual prayer? Again, look at Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. We see that Daniel studied God's revelation, and then he sought to apply what he's come to understand. The study leads to application. Having understood, he related that to his personal life, and he began to pray in relation to God's purposes for Israel in that historical context that God had revealed about the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem after 70 years. And so Daniel prayed in that direction. So his prayer springs forth or has a direct bearing with his understanding. The understanding leads to prayer in that direction. Verse 3 tells us that there was fasting and prayer. So I gave my attention to the Lord to seek Him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. This is a brief verse, but it comes through to us strongly the earnestness, the intensity, as well as the humble spirit in sackcloth and ashes, the humility of spirit, the earnestness, the intensity with fasting and prayer, and the crying out to God from a burdened heart. As we go on through the rest of the prayer of Daniel, we notice that it continually comes through, a prayer that springs forth from his heart, burdened with the issues that are important to the Lord. Not just concern for the people, of course he should and proper, but also burden and crying out to God in relation to God's purposes. The Lord willing, we will consider more carefully, more closely, his prayer in chapter 9, perhaps in the next message. But I want to conclude by emphasizing and noting this point, that some aspects for as we round up today's message, it is quite clear that Daniel contributed much to the main flow of the fulfillment of God's purposes through prayer. As we reflect on the four important issues, we realize that they were all present in Daniel's life to a high degree, and so he was able to contribute much to the main flow of the fulfillment of God's purposes through prayer. And what is recorded for us in the book of Daniel, there are many evidences of effective prayer in that direction, but it's likely that much more has not been recorded. Over many years of faithful ministry and labor through prayer, because Daniel, as we see, is a faithful servant of the Lord and faithful in his prayer life, and the way he responded to various situations that are recorded shows to us the likelihood of the way he would have responded to the many issues that emerges through his life and many areas that he came to recognize and understand. So he had developed his life well, be faithful to God, and sought to be faithful in every aspect of his life, and sought to understand the situation he was in, sought to understand the Lord's purposes, and faithfully to apply them and to pray over the issues. For ourselves, let us, on the one hand, as we recognize how important it is to seek, to nurture, develop, deepen our prayer life, to seek to understand the main flow of the fulfillment of God's purposes and how we can then effectively pray in the direction personally and together as God's people, we should also bear in mind the importance of regulating ourselves in this area so that we nurture and develop our prayer life gradually. But there must be the direction and an earnest movement in that direction, and to a degree we are able, with the Lord's enabling, to move well in that direction. Areas like spiritual warfare and areas that can be dangerous, we need to be careful so that we do not hurt ourselves, especially in any significant manner. But there are many areas that are positive, that are significant, that we can work at them wholeheartedly, especially the development of our worship of God in prayer life, and to deepen our appreciation of who God is. These are areas that we can emphasize, and also our growing appreciation of the scriptures, the truths of scriptures, the very many positive qualities in our lives, our character development. These are areas that we can be intense and be wholehearted about without undue fear of harm that may come to our lives, but areas that can have problems and difficulties, we must learn to regulate ourselves But even as we seek to make progress in our prayer life, we need not wait until we are very spiritual and mature before we can contribute something. We can already begin to exercise ourselves and begin to contribute our part to a degree that is suitable in our context. So we need to seek to understand how we can contribute our part to exercise ourselves, what is suitable in our context, in our personal lives as well as together as a congregation. In this regard, we also should pay some attention to the priorities, which can vary with time and our stage of development, and also to exercise wisdom in prayer. Not just spend the time in prayer and that's it, but what we pray, how we go out praying, and how we continue to make progress in that area. And so we must make it a point that there should be the direction in our lives that there would be increasing progress and increasing effectiveness in our prayer life. That must be a constant concern of our hearts, and to recognize that this would be a basic, one of the major priorities of our Christian life and our walk with God. So one aspect is to do with the development of our personal prayer life, but the other is together in church life, and more to learn how to pray together with one heart, to identify with the congregation and to exercise ourselves. And at times it may be difficult for us to understand how to pray, what to pray, but when together in church life, there can be issues that may become clearer to us how to pray, there can be some guidance, and we can join in the prayers of others, whether it be in smaller groups, in home fellowship groups, or times together during prayers on Wednesdays as a congregation, learning to pray together. So the point that I want to emphasize is that we must constantly have this sense of direction, the recognition of prayer as a very major aspect of our service and contribution to the Lord's work and development of our life, our walk with God, and also the need then constantly to seek to develop, to nurture our prayer life, to be effective in our prayer life. So we'll stop here for today. Just very brief summary of what we've considered today. Today we've sought to understand Daniel's contribution to the main flow of the fulfillment of God's purposes through prayer, and we've seen the significance, the importance of this issue, not just for Daniel, but also for each one of us and together in church life, because of the great potential in prayer, and prayer as a very significant and major means by which God wants us to contribute towards His kingdom and the fulfillment of His purposes. But we need to pay attention to this area, and we've sought to look at four important features of prayer life that contributes effectively to the main flow or the fulfillment of God's purposes. That there needs to be the general and spiritual health and stature of the person as foundational to an effective prayer life, quality of life and maturity of the believer. And this cannot be separated from an effective prayer life. But we also need, besides general spiritual health, to pay attention to and develop and nurture our prayer life, the second point, so that we can be effective, and to learn how prayer affects the spiritual realm and various issues, and how to fight a good fight. And this is an area that can deepen in our understanding, as well as many lessons that we can learn if we are attentive, alert, prayerful, as we go through various experiences of life with God. And then thirdly, our need to understand, to gain insight into the main flow of the fulfillment of God's purposes, generally and also specifically. Because we do not understand, it's difficult to contribute in prayer effectively. We need to understand, and then we can pray in that direction. But having understood, the fourth point is important. We need to develop discipline in prayer, to then discipline ourselves to pray in that direction. And in this regard, we need to take time also to learn how to be disciplined in prayer. For example, if you've never been involved in sustained prayer or fasting and prayer, and then suddenly we want to pray very earnestly, sustained prayer with fasting suddenly, you'll find that it's not quite feasible, not advisable. So it takes time to nurture, to develop gradually. But we must have a strong sense of conviction and direction to move in that direction, to develop, to nurture our prayer life in a personal level and also together as a congregation. On a closing note, I want to emphasize again that there is a lot of potential through prayer in our personal lives and even more so as a congregation in church life. And there's much that can be developed and much that we can learn and attain to. There's a long way for us to go in this area, and we must seek to do our part to move well in that direction. As we prepare ourselves to partake in the Lord's Supper, let us reflect on the Lord Jesus Christ, His person, His work at the cross of Calvary, His resurrection, ascension, outpouring of the Holy Spirit, His coming again, and how He intends us to have a part in the fulfillment of God's purposes. As head of the body, the church, He is interceding for us, and He has urged us as His disciples to learn to pray and not to faint. And we know that this also emphasizes in the rest of the New Testament. And the example of the early church and Paul's admonitions in prayer. So not just in the Old Testament, but even more so in the New Testament, we are urged and helped to recognize the importance of prayer. And let us also now reflect over our lives, areas in our lives that hinder the Lord's working and effectiveness of prayer. Let us ask the Lord to search our hearts, bring them before the Lord, confess, deal with them. And if you come to recognize our need, you deepen our prayer life. Let us also pray over this matter. The Lord may deepen our convictions about the importance of prayer and our need to be sustained in our development in this direction. It will not just be something we hear and forget, but an abiding conviction and our working that follows. But we know that we come before the presence of mighty and awesome God. And Father, we marvel at the fact that as frail and finite beings, we can actually make a contribution towards the building of your kingdom. That you actually desire us to participate in, to have a part in the issues of eternity. And this evening we express our deep appreciation that you've given us the privilege of prayer and the vast potential of prayer and through prayer. But in spite of our weaknesses, our limitations as men, significant things can be accomplished and take place through prayer of men because you work through prayer. Father, we also realize that this is an area that we cannot take lightly, take for granted. We ask that you will continue to deepen our convictions of the significance, the potential through prayer in our personal lives and together as a congregation, and that you will help us to learn how to nurture, to develop our prayer life in the context of all-round development in our walk with you. Our development in you. And that you help us to grow in appreciation and understanding of how to pray effectively, and also increasing understanding of the issues that are precious to you and dear to your heart, that we can identify with you that our prayer line will be effective in that direction as we share your burdens and concerns. We ask that you help us. They may be more disciplined in this area. Pay more attention to this area as it deserves. We thank you for the example of Daniel, what we can learn of his life, and what we can learn through his life. The encouragement of what is possible for a man to accomplish even in the midst of such a difficult framework. And so we know that you too can do a deep work in our lives and through our lives if our hearts are willing, eager. We do hunger after the Lord and after the truth, and willingness to be obedient to you and to discipline ourselves. And more you help us to know you, to love you, and to be empowered by your Spirit. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and what he has accomplished for us at the cross of Calvary. And we ask also that more and more you help us to know the victory in him and through him. We thank you now for the bread and for the wine. We ask for your blessings and the elements. And we ask that you will prepare our hearts that we may not partake the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. That even now you will cleanse us from all our sins. We ask that as we partake, you will enrich our lives and strengthen us the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and ask all this with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious name. Amen.